10 or 15 minutes from me on how to better share intelligence among Santa Marta Group to create trusted networks for prevention reintegration. Well, creating networks to share intelligence on the basis of trust is my day job, I guess, as director of Europol, principally, of course, in the law enforcement community. So naturally, most of my remarks will be in that domain. But as much as possible, I will try to set it in a broader context, and in particular, to tie with some of the comments that we've already heard and very well summarized by Sir Bernard just now. So just to emphasize some of those points as well. Sir Bernard talked about the need to increase intelligence per se. Kevin, in his great speech last night, of course, addressed the issue of trust, and that's been a common theme of our discussions, not just here, but at the Vatican as well, principally around raising the levels of trust between police and victims, of course. In my field of work, it's just as important, actually, to increase levels of trust within the law enforcement community. And, you know, my daily fight, frankly, is trying to overcome the rather naturally conservative attitude of most law enforcement officials around the sharing of information, in particular to encourage them in this different age that we live in, or facing a different set of internationalized criminal threats, that they need to open up their databases and intelligence to share across borders in a much more free way. I think that's part of the issue here as well, is making sure that we can establish the necessary trust of those that are involved at the national, even local level, who are fighting modern slavery in so many countries as well. So increasing intelligence, increasing trust. But behind the question of this short presentation of mine, of course, lies another key issue, which again has been reflected on this morning, which is about how to move this new wonderful group of ours in Santa Marta and the commitment of all of its members here into a process of real action and impact. What the Cardinal said this morning was around maintaining a focus on practical action. Well, it's not easy to do, actually, in my experience, although my experience is a particular one of having to work in the European Union for the last 5 years. Believe me, it's a tough life going to meetings in Brussels to try and maintain a focus on practical action. It's easier said than done. And in my experience, not just in the EU, to be fair, to my colleagues in Brussels, in other areas as well, perhaps you will reflect on it, there are very many good intentions over the years, very many focus groups and working groups and conferences that are established that simply lead to failed implementation and failed initiatives. And of course, we don't want to be one of those. In fact, even in this area of combating what we called then trafficking in human beings, I was partly involved in such a failed initiative 10 years ago, working on behalf then of the law enforcement community in the United Kingdom to try and raise awareness exactly around the issues we're talking about today in the police community across the European Union, with this ambitious goal of ours to create a new urgent priority in the EU, commonly shared by all member states, that was horizontal in nature, to use an EU phrase, that talked about victim support as well as police action. And frankly, we managed to, you know, touch four or five countries only in terms of that response. So even in this area, we have failed to really grab the attention of law enforcement community, historically at least. So in terms of trying to create a network for shared intelligence about, therefore, moving to determined concrete action, there are some key principles that I've learned in my experience. I'm sure you will share. You will recognize all of them. The first is to echo the point that Daniel from the US made, just echoed by Sir Bernard, about political will. It's so important that you have the commitment, the express commitment, not just in words but in deeds, of those that are leading this community, because they can inspire change and they can drive through the necessary action that we need. Well, we have Pope Francis on our side, so that's not a bad start, I guess. We also have the strong personal commitment of the Home Secretary, but I would agree with the point made by others that we need other government leaders from other countries that would sign and put their name behind this as well. the commitment not just of our political leaders, but the executives of those that have their hands on the necessary resources, practical resources, whether or not it's in the police domain or elsewhere, to do something about moving this work higher up the priority chain. And those are, of course, police leaders and religious leaders that are here today and are expressing that very commitment by being here. But we need other champions of change in other communities, particularly the business sector. And the business sector, not just in terms of seeing them as part of the problem, which in some cases they are, but let's involve CEOs in our work that can be the champions of what we're about in the business community, particularly in terms of a stronger response from the business community in preventing labour exploitation. Fiona and the work that the Centre for Social Justice are doing are engaged in doing exactly that right now, engaged with some very powerful business leaders, not just in Britain, but from beyond. I think we need to harness that. So, political commitment, leadership commitment. Secondly, of course, setting ourselves ambitious but nonetheless realistic goals. Yes, let's try to change the world, but let's do it through deliberate steps and over time. So focus, therefore, on what is attainable and what can work. And there are very many ideas at the very practical level that have already been discussed here today, and, of course, the Vatican before that. Whether or not that's capturing best practice of investigations, talking about prioritising particular areas of criminal investigation by following the money, for example, establishing legislative norms, perhaps following the example of the Modern Slavery Bill in the United Kingdom and others. Seeing that maybe in the same way as we have legislated or established governance norms for the combating of money laundering worldwide, where now a majority of the countries in the world accept the Financial Action Task Force recommendations as the normal way of clamping down on money laundering. We should establish a similar framework for establishing a normal way of legislating for and executing against this problem of modern slavery as well. That will take time, of course. So ambitious goals, but realistic ones. But then, of course, what we're talking about is having access to a resourceful and practical network to implement those actions. Hopefully as light in administration as possible, as light in bureaucracy, and, of course, with low running costs. And in particular, making optimal use of existing resources. Nobody's talking about, I think, and I hope, creating a separate, new, expensive network that would take years to build. We have most, if not all, of the networks already established, and we should certainly make use of those. But they need to be harnessed in a way, in a more coherent way, perhaps, than we have now, to make sure that there's real impact in this particular area. So that calls also for some kind of centralised supervision, some kind of secretarial role, perhaps, to reflect on the comment that Commissioner DeSanto made as well. In the police community, we have international networks, those at Interpol and, of course, those that I'm responsible for at Europol, and similar networks, of course, in the other communities that are gathered here today. Could we consider to blend elements of all of those into a single trusted network of the Santa Marta Group? A network of dedicated points of contact in each of our administrations of areas that therefore provides the glue in the system that can make sure, therefore, that in each case they are responsible for ensuring that those existing networks are being optimally used in a coherent, targeted, uniform way to tackle this problem. They could work to an agreed set of principles, and even an agreed set, actually, of very specific common actions that could be reviewed annually by this senior network, which is this Santa Group. That sounds like a bureaucratic process. Actually, it's fairly easily done. And it's not about designing new networks. It's about putting a program of action with specific deliverables in place, making sure that there is a dedicated person in each of our communities who's responsible for implementing that, and that there is some coherence around managing that across all of that network. They could agree on specific initiatives. You know, the day a year thing that Fiona talked about is a great one, not just flagging it as a day of action, but actually maybe across the police community, making sure that we do carry out simultaneous law enforcement actions on that day. Hit the problem in one day across different borders. We have very good experience of doing that in the EU through Europol. It really does work in sending a very powerful message, not just to the public, and in giving hope to the victims, but a very strong message to those responsible for this terrible trade. And I think that's something that certainly we could think about doing as well. So the mechanisms are available. Certainly in the law enforcement community, I am more than happy to commit Europol's resources to this. I'm not interested in taking over any show. I'm very interested to serve the Santa Marta Group and the excellent initiative and principles that have been established and the way in which it's been led so well by Sir Bernard. I'm very happy to put the resources and capabilities of Europol in what it already does to coordinate the efforts of the international police community, at least in the EU, available to this mechanism. But there might be others. More than happy that the other resources might be used as well. But we have, for example, designed what we call a platform for experts, online portal community that links specialized communities of investigators in different threat areas. It works very, very well in a private part of the internet, not fully secure for the exchange of intelligence, but secure enough to make it a trusted network. And it works very well as an easy means online in virtual terms to share experiences, knowledge as well. Beyond that, of course, we also have an operationally secure network to coordinate operations. And in the EU, we are helping to lead, actually with the United Kingdom in this case, and many other countries, a particular operational effort around clamping down on trafficking in human beings. I think the Santa Marta Group should be formally a part of that, feeding its requirements and activities into that to make sure, therefore, that there is also some kind of registration of the Santa Marta's interests also within the fabric of what is the European Union's formal effort in this area as well. So there are networks available, there are strongly resourceful operational capabilities that are available, and I would like to make them available and support the Santa Marta Group in trying to move from this business of having established this common effort, having established a common will to do something, now into operational action as well. 10 years on from my previous experience, things have changed. In the last 5 years at Europol, we have a fourfold increase in the number of modern slavery cases that we are now facilitating across Europe, about 1,000 a year now. That's not bad, but it's still only 6% of the overall casework that we do. So if that's any yardstick of what's happening in Europe, 6% is not enough if the US State Department figures are saying that this is the second most serious organized problem that we have in the world. And within that, 89% of our cases are about sexual exploitation, only 7% about labor exploitation. And that's not either a true reflection of where the balance of the problem is here. So it shows that investigators are not yet fully aware of the problem, which is why awareness and training is so important as well. So that's it. In conclusion, and also to reflect on the comments of many other speakers, where Ian Livingstone talked about, in the end, the need of the police community to crack down the criminal networks behind, to follow the money, I think is so important. Also to deal with the internet as an urgent part of the problem. The work that we've done recently shows just how instrumental the internet has become in recruiting and controlling those that are victims of sexual exploitation in particular. So there is a specific strand of work involving the internet and the internet service providers, perhaps, that we also have to involve here. In the end, what I reflect on, I think, across our community is that these networks are there, that there are many initiatives that have been running for some time in many different sectors. I sense that the overall impact of them is less than the sum of the parts. What I mean by that is that it lacks a little coherence and strategic direction to make sure, therefore, that we're all pulling in the same direction, that between us we have a greater impact on the problem than the resources that in the end are available to all of us. So a bit of pulling together, a bit of coherence and strategic direction. And I think this time next year, we could be looking also and reflecting on the fact that we have been part of a community set of actions, deliverables that have actually begun to change the problem in a bigger way than we have seen so far.